St. Matthew chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll drop down to verses 4 through 9. Amen. St. Matthew chapter number 3. Amen. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. St. Matthew chapter number 3. Hallelujah. The scripture says, In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, there's a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around the Jordan came out to see him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you blood vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think of yourselves that because you are Abraham's seeds, that you're safe. For I say unto you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these very stones. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use verse 2. Amen. As a thought for today. Verse 2 says, and he said to them as they came, amen, he said to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use the thought, amen, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. As we look at the text, we're introduced to a man named John the Baptist. And John, amen, was a man that was doing his best to prepare the people, amen, of his day for the arrival of Jesus the Savior. He was doing everything he could to let them know, amen, there was somebody coming after him that should be before him. Amen. There was somebody coming, amen. He was baptizing them with water, but he would baptize them, the scripture said, he said, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. I can't do it like he can. All I can do is prepare you, amen, for the coming of the one that's going to be greater than I am. Amen. I'm doing a great work, amen, but somebody's coming that's going to be doing greater than I am. I'm here to tell you and prepare you, amen, for his arrival. John the Baptist was trying to prepare the people, amen, the spirits. He was trying to get their spirits ready. He was trying to tell them to get their hearts ready. He was trying to tell them to get their lives ready for the arrival of Jesus the Savior. His message was simple. Amen. Again, we're going to read it again. We're going to say it a lot today. Repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn toward God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And today's society, amen, we need to listen to John's message. Amen. It's still important for us, even today, for us to repent. Amen. Even all the way up until today, it's still important for us to turn away from our sins. All the way up until today, it's still important for us to prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds, to prepare our spirits, to prepare our lives for the arrival of Jesus the Savior. In today's society, our message should be similar to John's. Amen. It should be the exact same. Repent and turn away from your sin, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the goal of our message, amen, should be to prepare the people. The goal of our message should be to prepare ourselves for the arrival of Jesus the Savior. John prepared the people for Jesus' arrival by asking them to repent. And we have to realize that repentance, amen, prepares us for all that God has to offer us. Amen. I'm going to say that again. That's worth writing down in your sermon notes and a portion of your bulletin. Amen. Repentance prepares us for all that God has for us. We need to repent, for Jesus is soon to return. He's soon to come. Amen. He's soon to arrive. We need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, repentance doesn't just happen. Repentance is a process. Repentance sometimes can be difficult. Sometimes it can be easy, uneasy, amen, hard to repent. Amen. Repentance doesn't just happen because you cried. Repentance doesn't just happen because you felt bad. Repentance doesn't just happen because you knew you were wrong. Repentance doesn't just happen because you had desire to do better. Repentance doesn't just happen because you said the right lingo. Repentance doesn't just happen because you said you were sorry. Repentance doesn't just happen because you had good intentions. Repentance only happens when you change. Amen. Repentance only takes place when you change.
Repentance only happens, amen, when you change. Amen. You should write that down too. Amen. That's a good one. I'm going to say a lot of good stuff you should write down. And I'll make sure I'll remind you when I think you should write something down. Amen. God is good. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Repentance only happens when you change. You see, you can cry but never repent. You can feel bad but never repent. You can know that you're wrong and never repent. You can have a desire to do better, but still never repent. You can say all the right lingo, amen, in the church and still never repent. You can say that you're sorry over and over again, but you can still never repent. You can have good intentions all you want, and you can still never repent. What good are your tears if you never change? What good are your feelings if you never change? What good is your knowledge, amen, you knew you was wrong? What good is your knowledge if you never change? What good are your desires to do better if you never change, if you never put them into practice? What good are your words if you never change? What good is your apology if you never change? What good are your intentions if you never change? Repentance happens only when you change. You see, many of us let ourselves off the hook. We excuse our lack of action because of our good intentions. You see, because we had good intentions, we excuse ourselves if we don't show up because I intended on going. I intended on being there. Amen. But if you intend on paying your bill and you don't pay it, your life's still going to get cut off. Come on, your intentions don't mean a thing. Amen. You intended to get up on time, but you overslept, which means you were still late. Your intentions don't mean a thing. Amen. If your intentions are good, but your actions are bad, your intentions don't mean a thing. But a lot of us allow ourselves off the hook because we had good intentions. But if you're still doing the wrong thing, your intentions is meaningless. If you're still heading in the wrong direction, your intentions are meaningless. If you're always intending and never doing, oh, that's a good one right there. If you're always intending and never doing, your intentions are meaningless. We must stop allowing our intentions to hinder us from doing action. Stop allowing our intentions, amen, from hindering us from replacing our action. You're always intending and never doing. Wow. Your intentions are meaningless. Stop allowing your intentions, your good intentions, to replace your actions. John the Baptist was preparing the people for the arrival of Jesus. He wanted them to repent. He told them, listen, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 4 lets us to know that his clothes were camel's hair. Amen. This man was strange. He was weird. Amen. He wore camel's hair. Amen. In the middle of the desert. He wore camel's hair and he ate locusts. Amen. Bugs. Amen. If you will. And he wore a leather belt around his waist and he ate locusts and wild honey. Like I said, John was strange. He was weird. Amen. He was a weird dude. Amen. We got to just be honest. Amen. John was strange. He wore strange clothes. He ate strange food. He lived in a strange environment. Amen. He had a strange message. Repent. Amen. In today's society, that's still a strange message. Repent. Amen. Because everybody want to do whatever they want to do. Everybody want to live however they want to live. Nobody want to be told that they're living wrong. Nobody want to be told, amen, that they're doing going in the wrong way. Nobody want to be told, amen, that their ideas and their way of living is not correct. Everybody want to be right. Everybody want to be correct. Amen. And you can't say nothing because if you say something against it, you're talking hate speech. Amen. Because everybody want to be right. Nobody wants to know, hear the truth, that we need to repent. And we need to turn away from our own ideas. All of us have ideas of what we want to do, but we have to surrender our ideas for the Lord's ideas. Amen. We have to put our ideas to the side and accept His. We have to surrender. We have to repent. Still a relevant message today. Like John, if you preach the word of God, amen, you'll be considered strange. Like John, when you're obedient even more to the word of God, you'll be considered strange. Amen. Like John. Amen. Preaching the word and a living the word. Amen. When you're doing God things God's way, you will be considered strange. Yeah. It's strange to live right while others live how they feel. You're strange to have one woman and be faithful to her. You're strange in this society, amen, to forgive those who have wronged you. Amen. I will punch him in the face if I were you, girl. I will not take that. You're strange in this society, amen, to forgive those and to love those who have done you wrong. You're strange in this society when you decide to change your life over. You're strange when you stop drinking. You're strange when you stop smoking. You're strange when you stop cussing folk out. You're strange when you stop hanging around certain people. You're strange, amen, when you stop being around certain things. You're strange when you don't do drama in your life no longer. You're considered strange. You're strange when you stop doing certain activities. Amen. Everybody say, you're acting funny. Yeah, I'm acting different because I love the Lord today. Amen. I'm serving God. Come on, I'm serving God. Hallelujah. I'm serving God now. Amen. Yeah, I'm acting funny because I'm not acting like I used to act. Amen. I'm acting like I should act.
Yeah.
I'm acting how I should. I've been acting in the first place. Come on, yeah, I'm acting different. Because I'm not doing what you're doing. So what? You should be acting like I am. Come on. I'm not going to feel bad because I'm doing things God's way no longer. I'm not going to apologize no longer. I'm just going to be who God called me to be. And do His will. Call me strange if you want to. Call me weird if you want to. People call me strange. I was a high school preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Started Bible studies at 15, 16 years old. People call me strange, all kind of crap. Stuff, I said say crap, chick, I'm sorry. They call me all kind of stuff, all kind of stuff. But now they call me because they want me to marry them and their fiance. Now they call me because they want prayer. Now they call me because something tragic happened and they need some guidance and advice. And then they call me all kind of names, but now they call me with respect.
Yeah.
They call me with dignity. They respect, amen. Although they didn't understand it at first, they respect that I stood. Even in the midst of difficulty. So what? They call you strange.
Yeah.
But many of us are too afraid to be considered strange in today's society. Many of us are afraid to take a stand for the Lord because we don't want to be different than the rest. But we have to stop being afraid to be strange for the Lord's sake. We have to stop being afraid to take a stand for Christ. He stood for you. Come on. It's strange that a man would take a penalty that you deserve. It's strange that a man, amen, will get up on a cross and die for sin that you committed. It's strange that a man, amen, would bleed and die and pay there for something that you did wrong. It's strange, but that's exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
He did it anyway, although it was strange, and although he didn't deserve it, although he didn't earn it, he did it anyway.
Yeah.
He did it for you and he did it for me. How dare us be afraid to take a stand for him. How dare us be ashamed, amen, to take a stand for him. He stood for us.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he hung for us. He bled for us. He died for us. How dare us be ashamed to take a stand for him. To be ashamed. To be considered strange because I don't want to be, amen, different. So what if they call you strange? Obedience will make you strange. But although it makes you strange in today's world, dare to be strange. For the sake of Christ. Dare to be different for the sake of Christ.
Yeah.
You see, this strange man, John. Amen. That's all right. You can keep on clapping. I like when you clap. Amen. I like when you participate. It makes me feel like I'm doing something. Although, amen, I know I am, whether you clap or not. Glory be to God. Listen, I like when you clap. I like when you say amen. Come on. Talk back to me. I talk better than you, as one of the preachers I heard say. Listen, John was a strange man. And as strange as he was telling the people the truth. He was telling them that they needed to repent. He was telling them that they needed to change. He was telling them that they needed to get it right with the Lord. He was telling them that they needed to get serious about the Jesus because he was soon to arrive. He was letting them know that they needed to be prepared for the arrival of the Savior. And once they made the decision to repent and to give their life to God and to change their ways, he would baptize them. Now baptism, is an outward expression of an inward change. I'm going to say that again. That's good. If you didn't know what baptism was, you should write it down. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. You see, many of us think baptism is the thing that changes us. Many of us believe that baptism is the thing that saves us. Many of us believe that baptism is a magical potion, amen, that when I go down, amen, in the water, I come up and I'm a brand new creature. I'm a brand new person in Jesus. Hallelujah. All my problems are solved. No problems, no worries, no stresses. Hallelujah. Come on. A lot of us think, amen, that water is magical, if you will, enchanted. But that's not the case. The only time, amen, your baptism means anything is only after you've repented. The only time your baptism means anything is only after you have truly given your heart to the Lord. The only time your baptism means anything is only after you've made the commitment to change your life and give it to Jesus Christ. You see, when you get baptized, but you haven't changed, you're going down a wet devil, coming up a dry. No, it's opposite. Going down a dry devil, coming up a wet. When you get baptized, I'm going to say it again. When you get baptized and you haven't changed, you're going down a dry devil, coming up a wet one. A wet devil, glory. Try yourself off because you're still a devil. You haven't changed. You're still the same as you were before. We have to make the change, make the commitment. You see, he baptized them after they made the commitment to repent, not before. He baptized them after they made a commitment to change. And that's what we have to do. We have to learn to make the decision first. You come and give your life to God first. And after you give your life, it's an outward expression. I'm letting everybody in my family know, everybody in the church know, everybody in the world know, amen, that I made my choice and I give my life to Jesus Christ. Oh, this is not the decision today. I didn't make the decision today. I've been making the decision. But I'm just sharing it with you and letting you know. It's an outward expression of something that happened on the inside. To let you know what took place on the inside. It's a manifestation, if you will, of all the things that took place. You see, John baptized them after they repented, after they gave their life to the Lord. And we try to get at God backwards. And we need to stop trying to replace baptism with repentance, if you will. Stop trying to get into the kingdom backwards. Stop trying to use religious actions in replace of repentance. You see, that's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees did, and that's why John said what he said in verse 7. He said the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and he went off on them in verse 8 and 9. He let them know, listen, who told you, amen, about the coming wrath? Amen, you think because you are Abraham's seed that you don't have to repent. You think because you know you came from a descendant of Abraham that you don't have to change. He rebuked them. And because they act just like a lot of us, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they relied on something other than the grace of God to save them. They relied on their religious actions to save them. They relied on their Jewish heritage to save them. They relied on their good works to save them. You see, these religious leaders, amen, like them, too often we're only interested in the action of baptism. Too often we're only interested in the action of coming to church. Too often we're only interested in the action, amen, of being a Christian in theory only, amen, in word only, by confession only. We're only interested in the surface. Most of us are only interested in the good feeling that we receive. Oh, we're only interested in what's in it for me. Our interest is to use God as a cover so we can continue in our sin. We use God as a cover. I go to church. I'm on the deacon board. I sing in the choir. I do this. I do that. As a cover to continue in your sin. But repentance is a turn. And I'm getting hoarse, but I'm going to keep on going. Repentance is to go toward God. Repentance is to go in the right direction. Repentance is to go in the opposite way of your sin. Repentance is a 180, not a 360. You see, we turn. Just to say we turn. But then as soon as nobody looking, we turn and right back where we started from. We turn just to say I did. But then we turn when nobody's looking. Right back where we started. You see, repentance is not a 360. It don't start where you started at. Repentance is the opposite direction of where you began. We only do the action, amen, of turning. So that we can say we did. As soon as nobody looking, we don't really want to change. We only do the action of coming to church because we want to be sure that we look a certain way in front of people, but really, we don't really want to change. As soon as they're not looking, we back where we started. We only do the action of giving our money because we want people to know how spiritual we are. Yes, I'm a tither. Hallelujah. Give it an offering, pray, glory. As soon as nobody looking, I'm going to smoke my joint. Nobody going to say nothing to me. I went to church today. Glory be to God. We only do the action of saying the Christian lingo. I'm blessed and highly favored. God smiles upon me. Heaven's riches are upon me. As soon as nobody's looking, you're cussing everybody out that you talk to me. Come on, somebody. We only do the action of turning while we're in front of people. but we never really change. We use the church lingo as a cover for our sin. We use the fact that we got baptized before as a cover for our sin. And for many of us, we never really change because repentance is not our goal. We never really change because repentance was not our goal. Our goal was just the goal to say we did it so we can feel better about the sin that we're about to do in 5 minutes when we leave this place. You see, they would say, you go to church on Sunday and by Monday, you're a certain way. But I'm going to change it because a lot of us don't even, can't even wait till Monday. As soon as we say amen, glory be to God, amen, we'll see you next week, you out in the car. You can't wait till Monday. Come on, you wait. Sometimes you can't even wait till you leave the door. You already.
Praise, brother.
But we have to do better. You see, our goal has to be repentance, not just show, not just going through the motions, not just people pleasing. And man, you can fool me all day. You can fool the preacher. You can disappoint me. But please, stop disappointing him. You can disappoint a man, but stop disappointing the man. Amen. He's the one that's watching you. I ain't watching you everywhere. I ain't got that kind of time. I really don't really care that much, to be honest with you. You can do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. All I got to do is tell you. I ain't got nothing else to do with the rest of that stuff.
That's right.
A lot of preachers think they got to control your manipulation. That's not me. I got 5 kids, a wife. I work here. I got the church. I got my own business I go to. I got a lot going on. So I really, really, really don't got time to watch nobody. I don't mean no harm. Please don't be offended by it. That's between you and God. I'm here to tell you what God has said, what thus said the Lord. And if you do it or you don't do it, I can't do nothing about it. All I can do is say, I told him, Lord, I did my part. All I have to do is tell you. Other than that, I go home. Amen. I be with my family and I take care of my business. But we have to realize as I get ready to close that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to get serious about God. We have to stop being satisfied with surface Christianity. We have to stop being satisfied with religious actions in replace of repentance, in replace of a sincere heart. You see, Isaiah 29 verse 13 said, these people worship me with their lips. They say their mind. They say the right stuff. They say the right lingo. But their hearts aren't with me. They say all the right things. They say hallelujah when it's time. They say glory be to God when it's time. They say, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I thank you when it's time. They say I'm a Christian when it's time. They say I love God and I believe everything that the Bible says.
Yeah.
When it's time. But their life don't really match up to that fact that they say they believe everything the Bible says. Because if you really believe everything the Bible says, you realize that there's a penalty for your sin that you're about to commit after you get done saying whatever it is you just said. You have to realize everything the Bible says is true, even if you say you believe it or not, but we have to stop using the lingo in replace of repentance. It's important for us to stop being satisfied with the lip service and give God our hearts. You see, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship is nothing but a man-made routine, a man-made ritual, something that you learn over time, something that you began to practice because you heard it over and over again. It's a routine. You see, you've been taught the right lingo. You've been taught how to do church. You've been taught how to say amen. You've been taught when to say hallelujah. You've been taught when to clap your hands. You've been taught all the right things to do, all the right moves. But God looks behind your religious actions. God looks behind the things that you say out of your mouth. He looks behind your church attendance and how much you gave when you were there. He looks at your heart. He sees your heart. You see, I can't see your heart, but God can see your heart. And once you really give your heart to God, your actions will change because your desires will change. You won't want to do what you used to do. You won't want to go to places where you used to go. You used to enjoy certain places. You used to enjoy hanging around certain people. You used to enjoy certain activities. But when you really give your heart to God, you really won't even want to do that stuff no more. Because God will begin to change your appetite. He'll begin to change your desires. He'll begin to change the way that you operate, the way that you think, the way that you conduct yourself. Amen. Your desires will be his desires. Amen. Because you begin to pray prayers like, Lord, make me want, cause me to want what you want. prayers like that. Before, you didn't care what God wanted you to do. You want to do what you wanted to do. But now, because you gave your life to God, you say, Lord, I only want what you want from me. If it's not from me, I don't even want it. Come on, who would say that unless you really gave your heart to the Lord? When you give your heart to God, that's what you begin to do. Your desires will change. And as a result of your desires changing, your actions will also change. Once you really give your heart to God, your actions will be as a result of repentance, not in replace of repentance. That's a good one. When you give your heart to God for real, your actions will be a result of your repentance, not in place of repentance. You won't be playing games. You'll be trying to get to the house of God. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. When it was a privilege for me to get here. It was a blessing for me to get here. I woke up like, yeah, I can't wait to get to church. Who does that unless you really gave your heart to God? If you haven't given your heart to God, coming to church is a chore. Doing God's will is a chore. Coming all the time is a chore. You feel like you can miss a week because you went 3 weeks straight. I can miss 1 week, they ain't going to miss me. Because you haven't really given your heart for real. But when you give your heart, you can't wait to get there. You can't wait to be in His presence. You can't wait to worship Him. You can't wait to do the things of God. We have to be better, beloved. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to get serious. And as I use my last verse, verse 8, he said, verse 8, who warned you about the coming wrath? Therefore, we need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, the Message version said it this way. He said, it's your life that must change, not just your skin. In other words, real change happens from the inside out, not from the outside in. God is looking for repentance. He's looking for a changed life. He's looking for a committed heart. You may fool me and you may fool other people. And you're a bad person if you can fool yourself. But many of us have fooled ourselves. But you will never fool God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop playing with time. It's time to stop taking time for granted. It's time to stop playing with God. It's time to stop playing yourself, thinking you're fooling God. Stop focusing more on the happiness down here. Because you'll end up unhappy for an eternity down there. I'll say that again. Stop focusing so much on your happiness here. Because you'll end up in an eternity of unhappiness down there. There's a whole other realm that we have to prepare for. Amen. This is not the end. You will live an eternity somewhere. You will live forever somewhere. You won't live forever here. You're going to die at some point. All of us, amen, we're going to either get raptured or we're going to go by the grave. All of us, nobody's going to stay here forever. This is a temporary realm. But we're going to live forever somewhere, and we must prepare for that eternal realm. Don't automatically assume that you're going to go to the kingdom of heaven if you haven't prepared for it while you're on earth. The kingdom of heaven don't start when you get to heaven. The kingdom of heaven starts right here by you giving your heart to God. Not doing church actions. Not saying the church lingo. Not giving your money and saying, okay, I did my part, I'm going. No. Give your heart to God for real. That's where the kingdom of heaven starts. You don't automatically just go to heaven if you haven't prepared for it on earth. Heaven starts right here.